At this point, any player in the country could go to the portal conceivably at any given moment. But we've heard rumblings about that room as the year has gone on. We know we're not going to have Antonio Williams. He was forthcoming with it and said he's going to the draft next year and he's going to be a good NFL player. They need to find a way to make sure that Wesco and Moore are back. It makes them significantly more attractive in the portal to a quarterback option, and you have two legitimate wide receiver one caliber guys going into next season for any transfer portal quarterback, which I think that's the direction that they have to go in and that they will go in, to look at and say, wow, that's a program I want to go play for. TJ Moore was open all game on Saturday. Antonio Williams was open over the middle of the field all game on Saturday. Christian Bentancur, who is the best tight end on this team, and I think it's pretty obvious to most people that he needs to be playing more, was open all game when he was on the field on Saturday. Receivers and tight ends did their job in this game. Klubnik didn't hit him every time, but he hit him a lot of the time, and they generated yards and got chunk plays more often than South Carolina did. They ended up having more explosive 20-plus yard plays than South Carolina did in this game, despite running 18 less plays. They got more first downs on average than South Carolina did in this game. I believe the number was they generated a first down on 41% of their downs, whereas South Carolina only did it on 21% of theirs. That is a massive number that highlights how efficient the offense was, especially in short yardage, where they were perfect 4-for-4 on third down, whereas South Carolina found themselves in a ton of offensive situations where it was 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-10, and could not convert. Clemson was efficient. They operated well in the passing game for three quarters in this game, and Cade Klubnik hit open receivers when they were there, and he had protection. If this team has TJ Moore back next year, and Wesco, and Bentancur, and I think one more addition in the wide receiver room in the portal would be nice. They need another receiver there. It's going to be a very good offense and a very good nucleus to play for if you're a transfer portal quarterback, and I feel pretty good about that room heading forward. Again, Moore open all game. Williams open all game. Some of that credit goes to them. Some of that credit goes to Garrett Riley for getting them open schematically. But I was satisfied with what I saw from our pass catchers on Saturday, Ben.
And, TJ Moore, 9 targets, 6 receptions. I did think South Carolina paid a lot of attention to Antonio Williams. He still caught 7 balls, but was targeted 13 times. But maybe the biggest thing that stood out to me with the wide receivers were they caught the ball.
Yeah.
You might have had there were a couple of drops that you say were on the wide receiver, but they caught the ball, and they caught the ball even when they were in traffic, even when they were defended well at times, they still made good catches. I mean, and they made some difficult catches too. And again, that's something that room has not done consistently for 2 seasons. It's gotten better, yes, but it still hasn't been great this year. And it's another, again, we always focus on the quarterback. There's been a lot of drops this year too, still more than it needed to be. Not nearly as bad as last year. So yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. TJ Moore was really, really good in this game. It was nice to see Christian Bentancur get get 6 targets, 5 catches. He also blocked really well. And, he's on the field because Olsen Pat Henry is lost for the season. He's on the field more because of that, but it was good to see. And he's one, as, talking about Moore and Wesco, I want to make sure Christian Bentancur is here. And, I was kind of down on this staff for the lack of use even last week when you target – Ian Shefflin more than you target Christian Bentancur. That doesn't send the right message to me, in my opinion. Maybe you made up for that on Saturday, so hopefully that goes a long way with him.
I haven't understood the lack of usage all year long. I think his route tree as a receiving and a moving tight end is just bigger than any other guy on this team. I don't think that's even questionable. I mean, Pat Henry has some value. Sapp has some value. Sapp had a big 22-yard play where he got open in the middle of the field, ran straight into a defender. I mean, he put his head down, shoulder down, made a big play when he needed to. Bentancur is the best tight end on the roster. I think he's very capable of being the number 3 option on a good offense next year. I really do think the upside is there for more than that down the line. And obviously for a coaching staff and an offensive coach, the most important thing a tight end can do is blocking in line and doing all the dirty work that so often we see when guys go to the NFL from the tight end position. They haven't done either or in college. They didn't block a ton or they didn't run that route tree that the NFL is going to want them to do. You don't see him put both together very often in college, and I think he has the potential to do that, and I wish he would have been playing a little bit more throughout the season. But yeah. He played a lot on Saturday. He caught 5 of his 6 targets. He was open on the sidelines. He was open in the middle of the field. He was a good safety blanket. He protected the football. That's exactly what you need out of your tight end, and he brings a little bit more athleticism to the position than the other guys in the room as well, I think, in a lot of ways. So keep using him and keep getting him involved in the passing game, and whoever the quarterback is next year, whether that's Vezina or Denson, God forbid it's one of the guys on the roster, or a transfer portal guy, they're going to love having a really good safety blanket over the middle of the field that they can trust, and I think that can be him.
Yeah, Texture said Betancourt is the best tight end by far on this Clemson's team. I somewhat agree. I think he has the highest upside by far.
You need to see him out there.
But Olsen Pat Henry has played really well this year, and I don't know that he gets enough credit. I do think Christian would have liked to have seen him play more than he has, but that room has been kind of neck and neck, and Pat Henry's been very good. So, that has a lot to do with why Christian Betancourt hasn't been on the field. If he's here next year, though, I think you see him basically every play.
You can roll both of them out next year. You can have both of them on the field in a lot of sets. Pat Henry has improved as a blocker. Betancourt looks like he can block decently well. You figure with another offseason of work in the same room, he's going to get better in that department as well, and I think he's a better pass-catching weapon than the other guys in the room, but they can all be back. So you have a pretty good room there going forward, depending on the development of those two guys at the top of it, and I feel better about it now than I did going into the week because we saw a little bit more responsibility placed on his shoulders, and he came through. 5 catches on 6 targets. A couple texts about Cole Turner. Cole Turner is going to get targets. He got 5 in this game. He high-pointed a ball on the sideline, made a nice play. I thought he did what he needed to do.
Man, that catch on the sideline, I don't know. I didn't think he could get to that ball.
That's not a Cole Turner catch, but he caught it.
That is a Bryant Wesco catch. But he caught it. And, yeah, credit to him for going up and getting it.
And that third receiver position has been a bit of an up-and-down battle with Wesco out. Tristan Smith has played some. He's dropped the ball a little bit too much for my liking. Turner's been fine in the role that they use him in. They throw him a lot of screen passes, probably more than any of us want to see, but that's kind of where they like to use him. They gave him a little bit more responsibility in this game, and I think he did fine with it. That was a big catch over on the sideline to high point the ball. He's not a big dude, so to go up and get that one is huge. Keep it away from the defender. Job done as the third or fourth receiver on the roster. He was the number 4 option in this game in the passing game. He was fourth on the team in targets with 5, and he did his job. Can't complain about that. Let's talk about the run game here. Adam Randall might be my favorite player on this team. It's been an unusual amount of flack throughout the season for Adam Randall from a decent portion of the fan base, I think, Ben, for things that are entirely out of his control. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would have liked to see Adam Randall have a compliment in this backfield in the transfer portal. A lot of people would have liked to see Gideon Davidson play a lot more at the early offset of the season. I don't think Davidson's good enough to do that consistently yet. And every time Randall goes out there and gets a carry compared to Davidson, he outperforms him. Davidson's going to be a great player down the line. Randall is a great player right now. 24 carries in this game, his career high, his season high. Garrett Riley leaned on the run a lot more in this one. Got over 100 yards, ran for a touchdown, only averaged 4.3 yards per carry, but I think that was a lot of short yardage spots where South Carolina was selling out the run. They knew they were going to run the ball, and Clemson was 4-for-4 in those short yardage third downs. All Adam Randall does when given the football is produce, and it's all he's done all year. He's more patient than I think you would think a converted wide receiver at running back would be. He's a tremendous power back where we've been clamoring all year long to get him the ball on the goal line and in short yardage spots because he has that Kareem Hunt level gift in the NFL that he just falls forward every time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to bring him down. He does the things you ask a running back to do, and he's been one of the most consistent options on the entire team all year long offensively. I love watching Adam Randall run the football. I hope there's an NFL future there for him going forward, and I think there will be because he's a bit of a different archetype at that running back spot. And a lot of credit has to go to him, for in a year where they had a lot of offensive play calling questions, a lot of questions about the offensive line, a lot of injuries on the offensive line. Every time Randall got the ball, he tooled along and did his job. and he did his job in this game as well, and they controlled the game and controlled time of possession in large part due to a pretty consistent running attack that executed in short yardage situations.
Adam Randall, in my mind, is the MVP of this team this year, and especially on the offensive side, and I'm not sure it's even close. With that said, and just putting my cards on the table here, Sam, I did not think he was very good at the beginning of the year.
I was skeptical.
I think he was a try-hard, but he also looked like someone who had not played the position his entire life, like running backs do. He ran straight ahead really hard, and you know that was better than what you had had. But he didn't have that elusiveness and that, you know, just those natural instincts to cut. He has developed that over the season, and Gideon Davidson has developed over the season. And you know, there's been a lot of criticism of C.J. Spiller. I think it's been warranted over his career here. There has not been that development that you would have liked to have seen, in my opinion, of a lot of wide receivers. With those two guys, I don't think you can say that. He took a wide receiver who had 4 career carries prior to this season and turned him into what I think is the MVP of this team. Where would you have been without him this year? So, you know, for all the negative, there's a couple of positives, and I think the two guys that were in your backfield at the end of the season, in Davidson and Randall, have both improved pretty drastically, if you want my real opinion, throughout the season.
Randall's going to finish the year with over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. He's going to probably get to double digits in touchdowns. I would assume he scores a touchdown in this next game. He scored one in the majority of their performances this year. He was fantastic this year. And we have heard Dabo Swinney hype up players in the offseason before and them not turn out to be as good as he thinks they're going to be. Randall was one that he kept banging the drum for. I mean, goodness gracious, the percussion was loud all offseason. You couldn't stop hearing it. He mentioned him in every press conference, said, we're really excited about this guy. He's our hidden gem. And yeah, the development there was sound as the year went on. He got better. He got more consistent. He's a bowling ball on 3rd and 4th and 1 and 2. He's good on the goal line. He's been immensely valuable for them, and he's given them a run game that has done its job despite offensive line problems in a lot of games this season.
I did not think this at the beginning of the year. I do now. I think he's going to be on an NFL roster next year because that hybrid running back has become a thing in the NFL. And if you can catch the ball and yet still run the ball hard like that, there's a spot for you. It may be practice squad because he is still learning the position, but I think there's an NFL spot for him next year. And boy, I did not expect to be saying that at the beginning of the year.
6'2", 235, and he can run. It's going to get you on a roster. There have been wide receivers that didn't work out at that spot, converted to running backs in the last 5-10 years that I can think of, a couple off the top of my head. RJ Harvey did it. Tyrone Tracy did it from Purdue and Iowa. He's on the Giants now. He's their starter with Scadaboo out. I'm trying to think. Antonio Gibson did it. I think Jahmyr Gibbs was a receiver at one point. These are the type of guys that bring you a little bit different skill set and also can help you in the pass game. Randall, if developed well at the NFL level, has the size, strength, route tree that a lot of running backs don't necessarily have and can help you a lot. Thrilled with his development this year and in what was really a lost year with 7 wins when you had a championship aspiration before the year. Adam Randall has been maybe the brightest spot on the whole roster. I think it's him and Will Helt and Avion Terrell. Those are the brightest spots for me going into bowl season and going into the offseason. Those are the guys that you look back and say, where would we be without them this year? Would we even be in a bowl game? Having a consistent running game in this one and down the stretch helped a lot. And I do think Gideon Davidson's time is going to come. Jay Haynes is going to be back next year. He's going to be healthy. I'd like to see what that looks like. And I think they're going to add another running back or should add another running back potentially in that room that they didn't do last year in the portal. Different question. We're going to take a quick break here. Hour number 2 rolls along about halfway through the show. Stick around. We'll be right back here on Out of Bounds.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace Tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
For Christmas, treat her to a special day of relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's best spa 13 years in a row. The Lilia Day Spa staff can restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. Select from the one-day or many holiday packages. Lilia Day Spa can create something special for her. A gift certificate is ideal for Christmas and shows her you care. 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa 13 years in a row.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
At Carolina Top Dressing, we specialize in professional leaf removal and top-notch turf repairs. Let us take care of your yard while you enjoy quality time with your family. Don't let your lawn's potential go to waste. Carolina Top Dressing is also your go-to solution for maintaining a healthy and vibrant lawn. With our specialized soil conditioning program, we ensure your grass stays nourished and healthy. Visit us now at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote, and as always, go Tigers.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, it's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Behind these doors lies an incurable disease. Your off-road parts and accessories. We'll customize your four-wheel drive. Clemson Four-Wheel Center. Clemson Four-Wheel Center.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Hands it off, Randall trying to bounce it right side, does so inside the five, hit it for the end zone, touchdown!
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me.
We welcome you back to Out of Bounds, Victory Monday version, here on a Monday afternoon in the beautiful Upcountry Fiber Studios here in Easley, South Carolina. 864-654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in with us. I want to tell you guys first about Tiger Moving Company. They are the clean-cut and reliable movers here in the Upstate. They take hiring very seriously, and they will only hire the most reliable and experienced movers. Their team is 70-plus employees deep. They're full of Clemson guys. Even Gamecocks love to hire them. They've moved Connor Shaw. They've moved Tracy Sweeney. They've moved Taj Boyd. They've moved a bunch of people that you trust here in the Upstate. You can check out their reviews on Google, Yelp, and Facebook. They do commercial and residential moving. They shrink wrap. They pad everything. And they don't start the clock until you arrive and only have a two-hour minimum. Listen, their moving trucks are named Taj, Vic, Dabo, The Fridge. Like, these are the types of people that you want moving your furniture around. TigerMovingGreenville.com. They serve Anderson, Spartanburg, Greenville, and Clemson. And you can reach them at 864-908-9028 or TigerMoving@gmail.com. Ben, we were talking about Adam Randall before the break. You have a good Adam Randall stat.
Yeah, and you just heard the call of the first touchdown of the game, 10-yard run by Adam Randall. Clemson Google, the Hall of Famer now, Tim Bure, sends me this. Adam Randall became the fourth player in Clemson history with at least 750 yards rushing and 750 receiving in his career. The other three, C.J. Spiller, Travis Etienne, Travis Zachary. Like, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame table for four, your table's ready. That's pretty good company right there.
Adam Randall is going to play NFL football. And if you would have told a lot of us that before the season, you would have been laughed at. So credit goes to Adam Randall for his development. Credit goes to C.J. Spiller for his development as well. And C.J.'s caught a lot of flack, rightfully so, in a lot of ways this season as coach of that room. And I think he's done a great job developing Randall in particular. Texter pointed out, and I really love the point, he's not a freshman physically, but he might as well be mentally at that position going into the year. And he has developed before our eyes every single week. Fantastic player, deserves more credit, I think. And behind an interesting offensive line, we'll call it this year, Randall has played very, very well. And I do want to give credit to the offensive line before we kind of sort of close the book on this game as we move along to a couple other things during the show. The offensive line has been all over the place this year and a little disappointing in a lot of senses and has dealt with injuries the last few weeks, but altogether, it kept Cade Klubnik upright in this game. He only took one sack, and a lot of the time that's a quarterback stat, but the O-line certainly contributes. They kept him upright. Randall had success, especially in short yardage. They got some pretty good push, and with a kind of patchwork group of guys in there, Ben, it felt like one of the better performances from the group as a whole this year. They neutralized what is still a pretty talented South Carolina pass rush and a decent run defense for most of the game.
Yeah, and it was patched together. Those five had to play pretty much the whole game. You had a six guy rotate in there, but I thought they did really well. And Texter pointed out too, we were talking about the tight ends and Ben Kerr earlier. They used him pulling a couple times, that really helped to spring some of those runs. And so, you know, there was some creativity there in the play calling. But those five guys, how many sacks did you give up? Just the one sack. They were only credited with one sack. It felt like more than that. Regardless, I mean, Cade had a pretty clean pocket most of the day. And, you know, I was worried about those five guys on the offensive line before the game started.
I am very interested to see what the next couple years look like on the offensive line with freshmen coming in, the guys that Matt Luke has recruited in the last couple years, and whoever he brings in, if there are one or two guys, if they do this, added in the portal.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to start to see his guys, and it's never fair to fully judge a coach before his players start to come in and what his eye sees. We're going to see, I think, improvement in that room in the next couple seasons, a little bit more consistency. There were flashes this year. Blake Miller was very good for a lot of the year. He was inconsistent for some of it. Some of the interior of the offensive line was solid for a lot of the year. We saw flashes out of Thurman. We saw flashes out of Jacobs. Those are guys that Luke is going to have a very strong hand in developing going forward, in addition to all the freshmen that he's going to bring in this year, because he's got like 50 of them in next year's recruiting class, and also a couple guys probably in the portal for depth. So next year, I think it improves a little bit. We see a little bit more of a consistent offensive line because those are the guys that Matt Luke had a specific hand in developing and bringing in.
Yeah, and on the Clemson offensive line, it did not hurt. I mean, Dylan Stewart was clearly not 100%. But there were times, Sam, I've watched him a lot and keyed in on him. I mean, he's not even trying on some of those plays. And I've got to assume a lot of that was the fact that he wasn't 100%. But there were times that he just, like, literally just stood up out of his stance at the line of scrimmage and just stood there and did nothing. I wondered why he was even in the game. I think he's a very good player, but he's not had a great season, and he did not have a good game against Clemson.
Yeah, he's been banged up for a little while. He hasn't been as good as he probably should have been or was expected to be this season going into this game, and I have a lot of questions about him, and I have a lot of questions about the South Carolina roster as a whole going into next year. I don't think Lenora Sellers is going to be there. I don't think Dylan Stewart's going to be there. I don't know where they're going to be. I don't think it's going to be South Carolina. That is a completely blank slate, I think, roster-wise going to next year, where you have no idea what you're going to get. He was banged up. He was a little disappointing this year, and I think he's going to transfer and get a lot of money somewhere else in advance of trying to make it to the NFL. We expected him and TJ Parker to play a big part in this game and kind of hoped they would. Parker did play a big part in this game. Stewart did not. Fascinated to see what the offseason looks like for South Carolina. There is a lot that they have to figure out. Clemson's got to figure out a ton of stuff. This is a pivotal offseason for them. It is a pivotal offseason for South Carolina in a whole bunch of ways as well. Todd Neasley has been hanging on with us for a few minutes. Todd, I appreciate you calling in. How you doing today?
Fine, you?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
This is for someone named Gamecock Billy. I'm calling Gamecock Silly from last week. He called in Friday and said, Clemson is soft. Who looked like a soft team Saturday? It wasn't us.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if necessarily South Carolina looked soft. I just don't think they look very good. I just don't think it's a very good football team. I don't think Clemson's a tremendous football team. I can't question the effort for either team. I think Clemson's just better than them and more talented in certain spots and had a better game plan going in, and that was the difference. But, yeah, it was not the fun week for South Carolina fans, I'm sure, that they had last year in this game.
Well, it just I expected Clemson to be 10-2, 11-1 this year, and this season really peed me off, but hey, at least we won the state rivalry. I lived at my motto. As long as we beat South Carolina, I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, you take it, Todd, and I appreciate the phone call. Have a great day, my friend. You take the wins where you can get them in a season like this. If you would have told me before the year that we would end 7-5 and go to a bowl game, I'd be pretty mad, and I'm still very mad, to be honest with you. But at least they did win against South Carolina. At least they closed the year on a high note, so you don't have that sour taste quite as much going into the offseason, a long, long offseason with a lot of changes likely coming ahead. You take them when you can get them, and we're going to take that and hopefully win a bowl game and get to 8 wins and then see the changes that need to happen this offseason, because there are quite a few of them, both roster and coaching staff-wise, that need to be made. Tennessee Tiger's been on hold for a few minutes. Tennessee Tiger, how you doing today, man?
Hey, talking about Randall going to the NFL and what y'all compared him to, of course, he's not as big as Derrick Henry, but what do y'all think about him being like Kamara? You know, was running back, you know, Kamara. He's not as fast as Jonathan Taylor, is he?
No, I don't think it's anything. Any of those guys are a fair comp. I think if Adam Randall gets drafted or goes into camp as an undrafted free agent, that's a success for him. I think there's probably a camp invite there for him right now. We'll see if he goes to the combine, if he's invited, what it looks like. I won't compare him anywhere near to any of those guys, or because they are all elite-level players who have elite-level traits, and I don't think Randall has a single elite trait. But there is a decent pipeline for converted receivers to running backs that have made the jump. It's just a matter of if he gets an opportunity.
Right, but he can't catch the ball, and that is versatile. I wanted to ask you guys, this year especially, because y'all watch more football than I have, and last year, not just some of the Clemson players, but just throughout college, when you're tackling a guy, I don't know where it started at, but you grab the guy and you want to throw him down instead of wrapping him up and just keep grabbing your legs, and until you hear the whistle, it's like they're, you know, wrestling or something. I don't know where that started or where it came from.
Form tackling is a lost art in a lot of college football, Tiger, and appreciate the call. It's my theory has always been that the highlight play is to hit them high and throw them, but it can also backfire on you because you get run over. Khalil Barnes says hello a couple of weeks ago. You know what I mean? I mean it's not sexy to form tackle anymore. But it's effective, and there's a lot of teams that don't tackle well anymore, and that's just a fact in my opinion.
Form tackling is sexy to me because it's something that Clemson has struggled with the last couple of seasons, especially against South Carolina. So the fact that they were able to do it on Saturday is a step in the right direction, one that they hadn't taken in many games this year. They didn't tackle well against SMU. They didn't tackle well against Duke. They didn't tackle well against Laura Sellers last year. So the fact they actually did it for the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season is a fantastic sign going forward that maybe some of those fundamentals that we hoped Tom Allen would reteach a lot of these guys who seem to have lost that the last couple years might be sinking in a little bit going forward and going into next year. We'll see. Not enough sample size to know for sure, because for half the year, Ben, this defense wasn't very good. For half the season, or I guess 40% of it down the stretch, it was pretty good. What will we get next year? I don't know. Who's going to be coaching the position groups on the defense next year? I don't know. There's going to be a couple changes there, I would imagine. There are going to be some players added in the portal. I think they need to add quite a few defensive players in the portal, especially at that cornerback position, because I don't know behind Ashton Hampton who you can possibly trust there if Avion Terrell goes to the NFL. So we're going to see some changes. I hope the form tackling and the actual fundamental stuff that this defense struggled with a lot of the year continues. But until I see it on a larger sample size for more than 3 or 4 games at a time, I can't fully say that it's a guarantee. However, I will also say I think tackling's gotten a little bit more difficult for guys with targeting the way it is now. You don't want to hip drop tackle a guy, and that's been a staple for many, many years. Obviously, the NFL has no idea how to officiate that, and you don't want to do it in college either because it's an injury risk, but that's something that players did forever. The way you have to tackle is a lot different than it used to be. And I think some players have struggled to adjust to that as time has gone on here over the past few years. Hopefully Tom Allen reintroduces a good tackling Clemson football team like we had with Brett Venables, because it has not been that the last two seasons. Before we get out of here, I want to tell you about Buff City Soaps. In Clemson and Greenville, they have delightfully scented plant-based soaps, bath bombs, laundry soap, body butter, beard care. What more do you want? You can even get pet soap there. All products are handmade daily, free of harsh ingredients, and full of nourishing plant-based goodies to make your skin happy. You can get any product with any of their signature scents. The possibilities are endless. And Ben, once you go Buff, you're never going to go back. We did shows and remotes there during our Tigers for Tatas campaign. I watched them make the soap live. It's a fascinating process, and the building smells fantastic.
Yes.
So I would advise you to go in there and just walk around and smell soaps and candles. It is a joyous experience, and walk out of there with something in your back pocket. You don't want to miss the weekly specials at Buff City Soaps. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, they've got it all. And you can follow them on Facebook and Instagram for their latest sales and updates. Buff City Soaps in Clemson and Greenville. Go in person. They are fantastic. And I guarantee you're going to walk out with something, whether that's a soap or a candle or whatever. You're going to want something at Buff City Soaps. Hour number two rolls along here on Out of Bounds. Sam Jones filling in for for William Quackenbush. Ben Milstead in here as always. Talked a lot of Clemson today. We're going to keep talking Clemson, but I also do want to get to the absolute cluster that was the SEC priority coaching cycle this weekend. The rest of the country, UCLA just hired somebody today. Penn State still hasn't hired anyone. And there were about a million other games that were important and played this weekend as well, as we head into what looks to me like an absolutely horrible decision-making process that the College Football Playoff Committee is going to have to deal with this week coming up, Ben, because there are 16 or 17 teams that still have a legitimate case to be a college football playoff team. And I don't really know how you divvy them up right now, especially when half of their coaches seem to be leaving for other schools.
I am preparing myself to be hurt. I just am.
Yeah, someone's going to be very mad. There are going to be a few very mad fan bases next week when we get the college football playoff rankings. We're going to talk some college football. Stick around. We'll be right back here on Out of Bounds.
Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Your holiday party doesn't need another banquet room. Take your team to Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym. It's active, social, and fun for all ages and fitness levels. Want more space? They can arrange a private room. Want to bring your own food? No problem.
Celebrate together this holiday season, bonding, laughing, and climbing. Reserve your date now at blockhaven.com/groups. That's B-L-O-C, haven.com/groups.
Is this the real?
Are you ready to rock like it's Wembley 86? One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen and the Works, is coming to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center on Saturday, December 6th. Experience the magic, the music, and the moves of Freddie Mercury in this jaw-dropping tribute that's taken the world by storm. Tickets are on sale now at WalhallaPAC.com. That's WalhallaPAC.com. Don't miss your chance to feel the thunder of Queen live in Walhalla.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Get ready for the City of Malden's annual Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m., brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. It all kicks off at the Golden Strip Career Center, rolls down Holland Road, and wraps up at Bridgeway Station. Enjoy marching bands, ROTC cadets, fire trucks, floats, a rolling car show, and plenty more. For the best view, grab your spot anywhere along Holland Road. Celebrate a season of joy presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
Where you can get the holiday season, bowl season, and basketball season all in one place. 105.5 and 97.5.
Merry Christmas.
We are the Roar.
Klubnik takes a snap. Play action, going to throw the slant. Bentenker the catch across the 45, spins off a tackle, and gets the 40-yard line. Another first down for Clemson.
She sits alone by a lamppost. Trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind. She says, there's the one I love the most.
Saw Darius Rucker at the ball game wearing his women's basketball national championship shirt at the football game.
Tough weekend for Darius.
It was awesome.
Tough weekend for the Rucker clan. Sorry for the loss, Darius. You make good music, though, buddy. Let me tell you guys about Wendy's. Wendy's is dropping tendies. Introducing the all-new Wendy's Chicken Tenders. They are so good, you're going to know them by name. You can order chicken tenders at Wendy's now nationwide. The fun doesn't stop there. They've got a lineup of 6 new dipping sauces as well for maximum flavor combinations. They're crunchy. They're tender. I mean, what more do you want out of chicken tenders at Wendy's? They're everything you could ask for. And because no chicken tender is complete without the dip, Wendy's culinary team is introducing those 6 new sauces designed for maximum dunkability, as they call it. Now nearly double the size to give even more sauce to fans. Wendy's signature sauce, sweet chili, scorching hot, creamy ranch, honey barbecue, honey mustard. Does that sound good? It sounds pretty good to me, and I'm getting a little bit hungry right now. Go to Wendy's today and get your brand new Wendy's chicken tenders and get your sauce for, as they call it, maximum dunkability. Ben, we've talked a lot of Clemson today. If you want to talk more Clemson, get in with us on the phone lines and Adams & Co. Roofing text line, 864-654-ROAR. We've kind of hammered home everything that needs to be said about that game, I think, and we're going to kind of move into a more general college football hour here to close out the show. A lot to talk about this weekend. Goodness gracious. It seemed like most of the teams that needed to win this weekend, Ben, found a way to win their game. There aren't many that came out, and with college football playoff hopes, no matter how dead in the water they may be, there aren't many of them that came out and lost this weekend and disappointed you in rivalry week. And credit goes to a lot of those teams for keeping themselves alive one more week, and that makes the committee's life a living hell going forward, because there are going to be 15, 16, 17 teams next week, most likely, that have a legitimate 12-team case, and that didn't exist last year. what was the biggest thing other than Clemson that you saw this weekend that stood out to you, whether that's coaching, performance on the field, off the field shenanigans? What moved you or what stood out as a big thing for you? Where do you even start?
Yeah, where do you start? I mean, I really hate to say this, but how wrong I was on so many of these games this weekend, these rival games. I don't think that Texas is a better team than Texas A&M, but they sure were in every facet on Saturday. I mean, Texas dominated A&M. I felt like it was more of a butt-kicking than the score indicates. Not a huge surprise in Georgia Tech, although I did think more points would be scored there. No surprise much in Ole Miss and, you know, in the Egg Bowl there. But, you know, listen, we got to talk about Texas Tech at some point. Yes, we knew they were going to win. 49-0 in Morgantown? Are you kidding me? Texas Tech's a team that very few are talking about, and they are annihilating teams. And then, you know, what has happened to Oklahoma's offense, Sam? Make that make sense to me. That Oklahoma, John Mateer and company looked so good at the beginning of the season. And, I mean, haven't they turned back into the pumpkin a little bit offensively?
Yeah. Let's start with the Big 12 and Texas Tech here, because this is a pretty quick evaluation for me. I don't think there's three teams better than Texas Tech in the country. I'm not sure there's – I think they're probably either the third or fourth, and it's very close, best team in the country going forward. They're going to be a playoff team and should be regardless of what happens this week, and maybe my evaluation of them changes if BYU goes out there and beats them this weekend. Texas Tech, as they're getting good quarterback play, are about as well-rounded as anyone in the country. Their offensive line is good. The trenches are great. The defensive line gets more pressure than just about any team in the country. That alone wins you a lot of football games. So this is one of those teams that's going to be much harder to beat than maybe people expect going forward, and this is a way better team, in my opinion, than what Arizona State was last year in the Big 12. And Arizona State was pretty good. Took Texas to the wire, should have beat Texas in a playoff game, and who knows where it goes after that. This is a better football team than that. I think they're going to kill BYU. I think they're going to run them out of the building. I don't think BYU is going to have anywhere near the college football playoff case that they have right now after this weekend.
The winner of that game is going to deserve it, because I like BYU too, but I also agree with what you're saying about Texas Tech. This is a game that is going to be overshadowed by the others, but these are two really, really good teams. And quickly, I got to give Miami credit. They went to a cold weather game in late November and dominated Pitt on their home field. And then finally, Tennessee, LOL. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, we're gonna get to all of these games here in a minute, but I was impressed with the fact that Miami, we all talked about November being the decider for them. Ironically enough, it was October. That's probably going to keep them out of the playoff here. You look at Miami, and it's pretty obvious that if they would have simply beaten Louisville or beaten one of the two ACC teams they lost to and lost to Notre Dame at the beginning of the year, they would barnstorm whoever they play most likely in the ACC championship game. They're better than everybody in the ACC. But because they lost both of their games in the ACC, they're going to miss the playoff more than likely. And I do feel for their fans in that sense, but it's the same thing we always say with Miami. You have the talent. You can't lose games in ACC play that you shouldn't lose. And they did it again this year. Credit to them for beating Pitt bad this weekend. I thought that would be a close game. I thought Pitt was going to give them a test. They looked completely unfazed. Malachi Toney is a truly elite NFL future player, elite freshman talent. You just don't see guys like that very often. That's a really good football team. That's a playoff-quality football team. They're not going to play in the playoff. It's disappointing for their fans. They will probably, if I had to guess, be the most annoyed of any team in the country next week when the final rankings are revealed, unless the committee does something very, very drastic and changes their mind on Notre Dame and Miami going forward, which would kind of be precedent-breaking. seeing as they have Notre Dame written up above them right now. So a tough break for Miami to miss the ACC championship game, which they likely would have won, but they did it to themselves. Can't lose back-to-back games or two games in the ACC that you should win and you're favored to win in. And blame to me goes to Carson Beck for that. And that's kind of the story of Carson Beck's career. One bad game gets him in trouble. One bad game got him in trouble against Louisville. Didn't play too well against SMU. And here you are. You're going to miss the playoff because of it as the first team out. Going to go to John on the phones. John, appreciate you calling in. How you doing today, man?
Doing very well. Go Bucks, by the way. Hey, I've been listening to your station all morning. I mean, all day. And all I've heard is the offense, Klubnik and Randall and yada, yada, yada. The people that won that ball game, in my opinion, are the linebackers for Clemson. And there's one mention on the defense of Clemson, but if anybody needs to get a game ball or a trophy or whatever like hell, those linebackers that Clemson's got, they played awesome.
John, we talked about the defense for just about the entire first hour of the show today. I mean, couldn't agree more with you about the linebackers. But, I mean, we started with the defensive side.
I don't care what anybody says. The linebackers actually won that game for Clemson.
John, I mean, agree with you.
They kicked butt and took names all the whole game. And I just thought they gave a little credit. If I'm not mistaken, in the linebacker that was on the national championship team, I'm trying to think of that guy's name. But anyway, the linebacker coach needs a raise and the contract extension. I'm telling you, before they were great.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the phone call, and I agree with you, man. We did talk about for the first hour, we opened with the defense for good reason today. The offense did fine. I mean, it did what it needed to do at the end of the day to win this football game. We talked about the defense ad nauseum for that first hour, hour and a half, because they were the ones that won this football game. The linebacker showed up in this game. We said this was Wade Woodhouse's maybe best game of his career. Sammy Brown's just a really good football player. You come to expect that from him. I think the secondary, Ashton Hampton, deserves way more credit than he's getting. From a lot of people for how well he played in this game with Avion Terrell banged up. He created that Ricardo Jones pick six himself. The defense won this football game. South Carolina did not look as good and as efficient as Clemson did. They lost the turnover margin. They lost the time of possession battle. They lost the first down efficiency battle. These are things that the defense created for Clemson's offense and put them in positions to win and gave them good field position, where Clemson won the field position battle as well significantly in this game. And that credit goes to the front seven on defense, where the defensive line actually did its job consistently in this game and got pressure. TJ Parker had his best game of the year. Will Helt's been consistently excellent all year. He was great. And you're right, the linebackers were fantastic. So it kind of echoes what Ben and I said the first hour. Defense won you this game, and they've won you a lot of games over the last month where they flipped a switch after SMU and Duke. And going into next year, you feel really good about that side of the ball under Tom Allen now that he gets to bring in his guys going forward. So, yeah, defense won the game. Shout out to everybody on that side of the ball. Couple coverage busts. That's the only thing really you can point to negatively for Clemson's defensive side. Ben, back to where we were at there a minute ago. Looking at the committee's job as a whole here and looking at how they manage everything that they're about to deal with here, you can pretty much pencil in how many teams here. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas Tech, I think, Oregon. Well, you could have said Ole Miss before yesterday, but now I'm sure there's going to be a debate about that. And probably Oklahoma, because their resume is really good. But I don't think they're very good. Their resume is very good, though. You can pencil those teams in as a guarantee. That leaves three or four spots where you have to pick between six, seven, eight teams that have legitimate cases. Alabama's going to have a very big week this week because I don't know what the committee does with them if they lose to Georgia in this SEC championship game. BYU needs to beat Texas Tech, or I think they're going to miss the playoff. Miami has a very real case. Notre Dame is the darling of the committee every year, and they pass the eye test, but who have they played in the last 3 months? Vanderbilt's a two-loss SEC team. Hard to argue against that, even though there's probably better resumes out there. Utah is a two-loss Big 12 team. That's a pretty good team. There are a lot of good football teams out there that have legitimate cases, more so than last year, where we were talking about a lot of three-loss teams, like South Carolina down the stretch as the first team out of the playoff last year. And it's going to be a much tougher bubble to crack if you're one of those teams on the outside looking in. where do you go with, I guess, Ole Miss to start off here? And how, if you're the rest of the committee, do you adjudicate all of this?
Yeah, Ole Miss is going to be interesting because your defensive coordinator is now going to be your offensive, going to be your head coach. I don't know who's calling offensive plays for Ole Miss, but I do think there will be somewhat of a penalty for losing your head coach. And while it's not the same as the Florida State situation a couple of years ago, there is a little bit of a precedent there. I mean, you know, the difference is we saw Florida State play without Jordan Travis. And, you know, you don't know what Ole Miss is going to look like without Lane Kiffin. But does anybody expect them to just keep clicking like they have been? I mean, you're losing – you've lost four coaches on that side. You have to factor that in. I'm not – Ole Miss has had a good enough season, though, to where they're in regardless. And I don't want to penalize the players that are there, you know, just because your head coach is exactly who we thought he was all along. So, yet do they get bumped down, though? Yeah, I think they probably do. Also, you're going to have several teams with data, you know, an additional data point moving up. Ole Miss is not playing this weekend.
The thing that might save Ole Miss, and we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, is what you just said, where Florida State played a game or two after Jordan Travis got hurt. They played Louisville. They did not look good. And you could tell in a 4-team playoff where the margins are even tighter than they are now with 12, that wasn't going to be a competitive team, and that's what the committee went with, and they were probably right. We haven't seen it with Ole Miss. We don't know. They may still come out and be a good offensive outfit. We'll see. We're going to talk a little bit more about the committee and what they're going to do on the other side of a quick break here on Out of Bounds.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Part A, Part B, Supplement, Advantage, Part D. It's enough to make your head spin. Don't worry, we've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
At Blue Ridge Heating and Air, comfort and flexibility go hand in hand. For a limited time, choose the savings that fit your budget best. With 60 months no interest financing or a $2,000 rebate upfront on select heat pumps, which can qualify for federal tax credits and electric company rebates. That's 5 years interest free or $2,000 or more back in your pocket. Call today and find out which option works best for you at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Blue Ridge Heating and Air, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row. Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Injured at work? You don't have to face it alone. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we fight to get you the workers' compensation you deserve. Medical bills, lost wages, and stress. Let us take that burden off your shoulders. With years of experience and real results, Smith Jordan Law is here for you. Call us today at Smith Jordan Law Firm at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Smith Jordan Law, protecting injured workers every step of the way. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call. DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Do you have a nice Thanksgiving? I did, but I don't feel like myself.
What have you been eating?
I had turkey at my in-laws, turkey at my parents, had a turkey casserole this morning.
It's a clear-cut case of turkeyitis. I'm going to write a prescription right now for a double chili cheese aplenty from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In.
Next patient.
The Beacon Drive-In, where the food is always good since 1946.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
Shotgun snap to Sellers. Again, wanting to throw. Pressure coming. This time Parker gets hands on him. Brings him down. Help was on the bottom. Parker on the top. And they sack him back at the 20-yard line.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you
Hour please, number three of the Monday afternoon edition of Out of Bounds here on The Roar continues. I'm Sam Jones, filling in for William Quackenbush while he is on travel duty back from the Bahamas with the women's basketball team. Ben Milstead in here as per usual. Going to shift gears to some more college football general stuff going forward. We're going to have to talk about Lane Kiffin at some point today, but we're going to talk about Ole Miss and the college football playoff committee's less than enviable task that they have ahead of them for the rest of the week here in this segment. Want to tell you guys first about the Phoenix Center. Alcohol is the leading drug problem among young people, and underage drinking is responsible for 4,300 deaths per year among people under the age of 21. Each year, alcohol kills more youth and adults than all illegal drugs combined. Underage drinking and vaping are not a youth problem. They are a community problem, and we can all work together to keep our community safe. Parents, merchants, law enforcement all have a role to play. And if you talk to your kids about alcohol, drugs, and vaping, they will listen. You can go to thephoenixcenter.org to get tips for talking to your team. That's phoenixcenter.org. And you can download an app that helps you have the tough conversations with them about these things that they need to know. Go to phoenixcenter.org and search under resources for more information. Once again, most young people make healthy drug choices, but if you are drug and alcohol free, you are the majority, but a lot of people deal with these problems every single day. phoenixcenter.org for more information. They will help you with the tough conversations, and you can reach them at 864-467-3790.
A couple of coaching things, transactions that appear to have happened today. Lane Kiffin's not the only coach in the world moving. Mark Stoops has been let go by Kentucky today.
It's about time.
About 4 years too late. And it appears Bob Chesney, the James Madison head coach, is accepting the job at UCLA. RIP Bob Chesney. That's a bad job, man.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off on Kiffin here. Listen, I can't imagine how you could have handled this worse if you're Lane Kiffin. And this is what Lane Kiffin does, unfortunately. This is a Lane Kiffin special. You can go back to every coaching stop he's ever had other than FAU, where it was pretty clean cut. He was going to move up eventually, and he did. And there is some sort of theatrical production that goes on behind the scenes of it that no other coach in the country is putting you through. And to be honest with you, I don't think Lane Kiffin's worth all of that. I don't think he's...